Like every good home, the Star Commonwealth has traditions that have built themselves into the lives of Star boys from its beginning. The little builder of Christmas fires is one of these. Another is Fast Day, celebrated annually since the Star Commonwealth's first Christmas. It is based on the thesis that Christmas fires will not burn brightly unless love is present.
The visit to the miser. All the wails of the world seemed to have broken from restraint and were wandering about the earth, riding madly on the winds and sobbing about every chimney corner, window, and door. This was Christmas Eve, and because they seldom had opportunity to ride abroad on this particular evening of the year, they shrieked, sobbed and howled to their utmost fury. In a rickety old shack, with windows and doors loosely hung, but with a fireplace so broad that Santa Claus would have not the slightest trouble in entering or departing by that way, lived a miser. And on this particular Christmas Eve, while the wind went hurrying hither and thither, driven in mad frenzy by the fiendish wails, he sat alone, cold and shivering, huddled down in his chair before a lightly burning fire in the great fireplace. The miser did not expect company, neither did he wish to welcome any. So he was greatly startled when he heard above the fury of the storm a faint knock upon the door and saw it slowly and softly swing back on its great rusty hinges. But what surprised him most was to see a small, bright-faced child enter swiftly and gently close the door behind him. "I've come to bring you a Christmas greeting, sir," he said most respectfully. "Go away then," replied the miser harshly. "I want nothing of the Christmas dribble about me." But the child advanced across the room toward the fireplace, and the miser saw that he bore a huge piece of firewood. He knelt on the hearth and laid it carefully down, and then, rising, removed his cap and mittens and again spoke to the miser. "I am the builder of Christmas fires," he said gently, "and I could not pass you by. But I don't want a Christmas fire. I don't want a Christmas anything. Go somewhere else." "I have been," said the child simply. "I do not have to build fires for those who love, you know. And now I have only yourself and the rich woman left. I thought I would build your fire first." "Well, I don't want you to," screamed the miser. "I tell you, I won't have it. Go away now." "But I wish to make you warm," said the child so softly that the miser scarcely heard him. "And it will cost you nothing, but just that you'll love the warmth a little bit." "Oh, well, if that's the case, that's different," said the miser. And he settled back quite comfortably in his chair and watched the child carefully build the fire into a bright, glowing flame. And when the gratifying warmth crept out into the room, enveloping him in his great chair, he put aside his cloak and began rubbing his hands over and over each other in contentment and glee. And while he sat thus reveling in the warmth, another timid knock sounded on the door. And before he could speak a single word of objection, the child had sped across the room and opened the door wide. Without stood a woman in the most miserable, wet, ragged clothing one could imagine. And clasped close to her breast, she held a bundle wrapped in a faded, ragged old shawl. "Oh, you poor, poor thing," cried the little builder of fires. "Come into the warm room." But the miser started from his chair in a fright, screaming, "No, no, no, I say, don't let her in here. I say, no, don't let her in here. The woman started to step back into the night and storm. But the little lad gently drew her into the room and closed the door behind her. Look here, cried the miser angrily. I let you build this fire, but I did not tell you that you could invite in all the miserable, wandering cast-offs that come along to get warm by it. Surely, questioned the little builder of fires, you'll let this poor woman get warm. And see, she has a little babe, a very little baby. Come, lay it down by the fire, he said to the woman. Wait, I'll get you a cushion. And he started to take the one from the bottom of the chair in which the miser had been sitting. But the man screamed so loudly that the little boy stood still, aghast. You leave that alone. Don't you dare touch it. And sat down so quickly that really the child had no opportunity to take it from the chair. And when he turned again toward the woman, he found she had made the babe comfortable in the old shawl and was now crouching before the fire, shivering and weeping. The little builder of Christmas fires bent over and, kneeling on the hearth, puffed out his cheeks and blew lustily upon the fire. And immediately, the many little blazes began to leap and roar in one great living flame. Gradually, the woman came to feel the comforting heat. And finally, she arose and smoothed down her ragged dress and tidied her tangled hair. Then she turned and smiled at the boy and spoke a kindly word to the miser. The babe, too, awoke, happy and contented in the warm glow and kicking tiny pink toes free from the ragged clothes and shawl, lay reveling in the warm firelight, cooing and gurgling with delight. But as the woman and the child seemed to grow warmer, the miser seemed to grow ever colder. And again he urged the little fire builder to give to him more warmth. The little lad immediately knelt and blew the fire into greater flame. And each time the woman and the babe moved farther back. And each time the miser drew his coat closer about him and hitched his great chair nearer the fire until finally he cried out in alarm with teeth chattering madly from the cold, you're no builder of fires. See, I'm freezing to death. Freezing to death, I say. I was warmer before you came. Get more wood. Put on more at once. But indeed, sir, I can put no more wood on. See, I cannot get close enough to put it there. Indeed, sir, the fire is much too hot for us all. But I am freezing. Freezing, I say. What shall I do? Wailed the man. The fire is truly very hot. And you have your cloak about you, too. There must be something the matter, sighed the little builder of fires. There must be something wrong about you. What can it be? What are you sitting upon? He asked finally. The miser made no attempt to answer. Just hunched himself over a bit more in the chair and spread his cloak as much as possible over the cushion in the seat. Let me see what you're sitting upon, demanded the child. No, no, screamed the man in an agony of fear. Go away, go away. This is mine. But the little lad grasped the corner of the cushion and pulled the harder as the man screamed. In fact, he pulled so hard that a tiny hole was rent in the corner, through which there shone the glitter and gleam of something bright. Ah, I see, he said sorrowfully. And it's only a cushion of gold. Well, how could you expect to get warm by ever so nice a fire and sit on a cushion of gold? Only a cushion of gold, stormed the miser with chattering teeth. What could be better than a cushion of gold? Oh, dear, sighed the child. Why, a chair with no bottom at all, but with a spindle or two of love to hold it together would be better. No wonder you're cold. Here, let me have that. And forthwith he grasped the cushion firmly with both hands, pulling it from the chair, and then dragged it to a far corner of the room. Curiously enough, The miser began to feel the warmth of the fire course through his veins, and thrilling with the pleasure of it, forgot for a moment the disposition of the cushion, but only for a moment. And as he looked to see what the child had done with it, he spied two small gold pieces which had rolled out of the little hole and now lay on the floor at his feet. He stooped and picked them up, and was surprised that they lay in the palm of his hand with such bitter coldness that it seemed to chill him to the very marrow of his bones. What should he do with them? He could not bear to hold them. They hurt too much for that. He did not wish to leave the fire long enough to go to the corner where the cushion of gold lay, and he was afraid to entrust them to that curious boy who seemed to do things as he saw fit. At last, his eyes lit upon the woman and the babe at the far corner of the room. They were as far from the fire as the room would permit, and yet they seemed to be fairly sweltering with the heat. The first happy thought that had come to him for years crept into his heart, and impulsively he tossed the coins to the woman. "Here," he cried, "if you are too warm, just hold these for a little while. You'll soon be quite comfortable, I'm sure." The woman caught them in her outstretched hands, and a tender, happy light leaped into her eyes. At the same time, the fire burst into the most delightful, comfortable glow, the mad fierceness of the flames turning into satisfying cheer, and in a moment, the cloak slipped from the man's shoulders, and he felt a new, strange, happy feeling burst like a flame in his heart. The man and the woman smiled at each other. And then the mother bent, and lifting the laughing, crowing baby, held it out toward the miser's outstretched arms. The door opened ever so softly, and the little builder of Christmas fires stole quietly out into the night. But through the opening door, over the sound of the wind and the storm, came the steady pealing of bells. "Bells? Bells?" questioned the miser. "Why are bells ringing tonight?" "Christmas bells," answered the woman, slowly and softly. "The birthday of a king." And very tenderly, she laid the babe in the arms of the miser. "I had forgotten," he stammered. "I had forgotten, but now I remember." And reverently he bent and touched his lips to the face of the little child. The visit to the rich woman. The little builder of Christmas fires went on and on across the city until he came to a great house in which many lights burned. There was a sound of music and laughter, and there were many rooms in which fires burned in huge open fireplaces. But in the largest and most beautiful of all the rooms, where the most wonderful and most gorgeously decorated Christmas tree imaginable stood, there was a fireplace in which no bright fire burned. A beautifully gowned and imperious woman came to this room again and again and looked at the tiny blaze that could be induced to burn but lightly in this great fireplace. Sometimes she scolded the old servant who had worked so faithfully and had spent so much time here. And although he renewed his efforts and heaped the most combustible things he could possibly obtain about the logs, and blew and fanned and lighted innumerable places, still the fire refused to burn brightly. Once, when she came into the room to look anxiously at the fireplace, she spied the little builder of Christmas fires sitting silently in the corner, and she spoke severely to him, thinking him some vagabond who had crept in for some share in the Christmas festivities. "Child, what do you here?" "I'm the builder of Christmas fires," he replied, "and I have come to build this one for you." "Well, it will burn without your assistance," she returned haughtily. "Here, take this and be gone." and she held out to him a piece of gold, but he only shook his head and slipped quietly out the door. Again and again the woman returned to the fire, which would not burn. She summoned new servants and directed that it be entirely relayed, for Christmas festivities about the tree would surely not be complete with a fireplace in which the Christmas fire refused to give no greater glow than that to be obtained by a goodly match. So it was, when she found the child again in the corner near the fireplace, that she spoke more kindly to him. "You say you are a builder of Christmas fires?" she asked. "Yes," replied the child. "I came to build your fire for you. Do you wish it very much?"
"I not only wish it very much, I must have it."
"Oh, is it so important then?" queried the child. "Why, many people have no fireplace at all for their Christmas fires."
"But that does not matter to me," said the woman angrily. "I must have this fire, and you say you can make it burn?"
"Yes, my lady."
"Well, then do so at once."
"Well, my lady will have to help a bit. I shall have to ask for proper materials, or you can have anything that is necessary," replied the woman haughtily. "I will call a servant."
But the child cried out alarmed, "No, no, a servant will not do. You must give me what I ask for. You must give me a little bit of love."
"Love," cried the woman. "Love. Love to build a fire with?"
The child nodded.
"Yes, just a tiny bit. And you must sit and watch the fire for a while, and then it will burn just as long as you wish."
"Well, I will sit and watch the fire if that's all that's necessary. But as for giving you a bit of love to start it with, well, that is preposterous."
"No, no," implored the child. "Just sit down there and give me your slippers."
"Slippers?
Slippers?" gasped the woman. "My slippers?"
"Yes," cried the child eagerly.
"That's all I shall have to have, just your slippers, and you to sit there and watch, and then your fire will burn as long as you wish."
"Well, I've tried everything else, and I desire this fire so much, I may as well try this, if it will then burn."
"It will burn, my lady. I promise you that," said the little builder soberly. And then he took the two tiny, bespangled slippers that the woman slipped from her feet, and kneeling upon the hearth, rested the high jeweled heels upon the tiles and the pointed glittering toes against the log in the fireplace. The woman sat and watched with a strange fascination as the flames crept along and leaped and curled under and about the little slippers. And although the whole of the fuel in the fireplace caught and burned with great vigor and heat, still the little slippers stood balanced against the great log, and the flames, curling over and under them, seemed unable to destroy them. Vaguely, the woman found herself wondering why they did not sink into a gray ash. And as she wondered, strange memory pictures danced in the flames. She saw herself a little barefoot girl again. And then she saw an eager little figure flying down a long flight of stairs on a Christmas morning to gather two bunchy stockings from the back of the chair set primly before the big round stove. Then suddenly she felt that her feet had grown soft and small and pink, and that they lay cozily in something that warmed them so comfortably. And then something touched them tenderly. Oh, so very tenderly. And that something did not seem to fade away, even when a sharp sting came that seemed to smart and burn deep. Dimly, she felt that a coal had snapped out and was burning her feet. But no, there was no coal, and there was no burn. And then slowly, she felt the wonderment and the misery of it all. Ah, how could she have forgotten for so long, so long? She knew why her feet felt so soft and small and thin. Ah, yes, she knew it all now. She knew that that something that held them so cozily was a cup of her mother's hand, and that which touched them so tenderly was a kiss from her mother's lips. soft and sweet as a rose petal. And that spot that stung and burned, ah, how it burned now, burned to the very depth of her selfish woman's heart. She knew what that was now, one of her mother's tears. That mother that she had forgotten for so long. The woman rose slowly, and forgetting that the slippers were no more upon her feet, wrapped a warm coat around her, and looking down at the little builder fires, asked quietly, "How long will this fire burn, little lad?" "So long as your heart is warm, my lady." And reaching for his cap and mittens, he went before her out into the night and storm. It was a long way they walked in silence together. But at last, at the gate of a little cottage, the little builder of Christmas fires paused, that the woman might pass before him. "You will not enter here?" she asked. "No," replied the child happily, "for the fire has always burned brightly here, my lady." "Listen," he said softly. And pealing out clear and sweet through the storm came the sound of chiming bells. The woman caught her breath sharply, and her eyes were wet with tears. "Go home, dear child," she said softly. "You have built a great fire. Go home." The little builder of Christmas fires trudged happily away. Once he looked back and saw the door of the cottage closed behind the window.